Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Dom's Here in My Backyard Tuesday edition. Happier, happy hour. I'm always happy when you're here.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
WMDX 92.7 FM Solidarity Realty Studios, Dom. And we hope to have a fine guest, Melissa Agard, currently the Senate Minority Leader, great state of Wisconsin, running to be my county executive, our understanding, Dom. Hopefully she gets the devil's bump by joining us here shortly. And a little bit later in this hour, Dom, John Nichols, journalist, friend of ours from the nation, from the Cap Times here locally. Well, John has been accused of what? Inspiring the January 6th riots? What?
Right-wing what? Media, as reported in the Washington Post. And when we see our pal John Nichols mentioned in the Washington Post, that is time to have a conversation with our pal John Nichols.
Well, especially when they claim or someone's alleging, and it's tied into what the Trump legal filings.
Right.
His newest attempt to relitigate the outcome of the 2020 election, and he wants to cast aspersions through the filings against our buddy John Nichols, which is, to my opinion, Dom, entirely illogical. The man was in Madison taking his kid to the orthodontist that day. He certainly wasn't on January 6th directing some sort of federalities false flag operation.
I mean, he's not Derek Van Orden. He wasn't on site, was he?
Ooh, that's got to sting a little for Derek because it's a little too close to true. So, do we have the sound? Do we have the sound of our buddy John Nichols? Here was before January 6th. These were calmer, gentler days.
The good old days.
It was after Fox News had declared the election for Joe Biden and basically set off a tempest in a teapot because, you know, it was rigged. And the claims of stolen election, they were just starting to build, Dom. And when was this? Mid-December after the election, but well before the January 6th, a couple of weeks before. Like, and John Nichols.
Yeah, December 9th, December 12th, something like that.
Appeared on this fine radio show. Some say greatest radio show ever.
It's true.
And John said this. We're a little apprehensive about what might be coming down the pike.
You know, I mean, Trump had tweeted out, come to January 6th. We'll be wild.
And it didn't seem exactly like they planned on leaving peaceably right. Or peaceably. You know, go in peace and go break stuff. Let's play John Nichols just in case. John Nichols seems like the type to you to go inspire a insurrectionist January 6th false flag federally attack, as perhaps is being alleged through the legal filings of Trump. Here's John talking to Dom and Crute.
John Nichols, the national affairs correspondent with the nation.
My fear is we got 50 million or more agitated Trumpsters, and reality is going to kick in. And then where do they turn that angst, John?
Oh, shoveling snow, probably. We have to accept that we've entered the internet troll stage of this country's history. I think most of these people kind of go back to wearing tinfoil hats or whatever and, you know, living their lives. They're really not that threatening.
Wow.
I'm not saying John completely missed this one, but that wasn't even close.
No, no, that wasn't close.
But you know what? It wasn't either, Dom.
Inspiring
the inspiration to
mega
an insurrection.
To go crap on the Capitol? No, I didn't get that out of that soundbite.
I got that more from the speech of, let's say, you know,
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. That's the guy. You know, I don't know why I had to search so hard for that name, but Donald Trump. Yeah, that guy's speech at the Ellipse that day, it was a little inspiring, you might say, of violence. In fact, that is the legal filings of Jack Smith, right?
The Washington Post reporting today, special counsel alleges Trump sent supporters on path to January 6th violence. Jack Smith accused the former president of a history of election lies and encouragement of violence. Fellow prosecutors Tuesday accused former President Trump of a long pattern of lying about elections and encouraging violence, saying he sent the supporters on January 6th to criminally block the election results. In a new court filing, prosecutors working for special counsel Jack Smith went further than their August indictment in attempting to tie him to that day's violence, saying they intend to introduce evidence of his other acts both before the November 2020 presidential election and subsequent alleged threats to establish his motive, intent, and preparation for subverting its legitimate results. Here's a quote from the 9-page filing. Evidence of the defendant's post-conspiracy embrace of particularly violent and notorious rioters is admissible to establish a defendant's motive and intent on January 6th. That he sent supporters, including groups like the Proud Boys, whom he knew were angry and whom he now calls patriots, to the Capitol to achieve the criminal objective of obstructing the congressional certification. They added, at trial, the government will introduce a number of public statements by the defendant in advance of the charged conspiracies, claiming that there would be fraud in the 2020 presidential election, laying the foundation for the defendant's criminal efforts. Attorneys for Trump did not immediately respond to requests for comment. Of course, Trump pleaded not guilty, yada, 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 so on and so forth. And, Curdy, we've talked about this.
You know, I have slightly different reporting than you. I'm reading the Post as well, but perhaps a updated version. In a written statement, Trump spokesman Stephen Chung accused Smith of trying to interfere in next year's presidential election, in which Trump is the leading candidate for the Republican nomination. Hmm. Even though it is not unusual for prosecutors to make public new evidence and allegations as trials approach, Chung criticized the government for trying to include claims that weren't anywhere to be found in the August indictment. That's because these are new allegations. Trump will not be deterred and will continue speaking truth to corrupt, weaponized power and law enforcement. Back the blue, ? Differing tone. Trump had pled not guilty to 4 charges he faces in D.C. He's accused of plotting to defraud the federal election process, obstructing Congress's certification of the vote in the 2021 Capitol attack, and depriving Americans of their civil right to have their votes counted. Those are the charges leveled against the former Dem. Guilty.
Also on this, lots of reporting. I believe this is ABC News. Again, the same filing. The evidence shows that the rioters' disruption of the certification proceeding is exactly what the defendant intended on January 6th. Smith's office in the filing provided notice of a range of information and testimony prosecutors hope to introduce at trial that, while not part of the actual charges against Trump, will speak to his motive, intent, preparation, knowledge, and common plan. They say the evidence, according to the filing, includes statements from Trump dating back to 2012, in which he leveled baseless allegations of voting fraud, which prosecutors say demonstrate the defendant's common plan of falsely blaming fraud for an election results he does not like. And Crudy, again, going back,
I have
to
more
the
examples
days,
of that.
But
as well.
We were talking about this. I mean, he was laying down the seed corn, man, way back in spring. Way back in spring, remember, this was during COVID yet. And he was making comments like, well, you know, if we send out, you know, ballots to everyone, you know, Republicans will never win another election again, right? It's rigged. He was laying down this groundwork for months and months and months prior to the actual insurrection.
Dom, it was years. After losing the Iowa caucuses in February, again, of 2016, Trump said on Twitter, the social media platform, that Ted Cruz didn't win Iowa. He illegally stole it. If Trump wasn't the clear winner by the GOP convention in July, he told CNN, I think you'll have riots. But beyond that, prosecutors noted that in August of 2016, Trump said his race against Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton wait for it, Dom, would be rigged. And he refused to say in the final presidential debate whether he would accept the election's results. Prosecutors said he allegedly pursued the same strategy in 2020, as you've mentioned, Dom, when he refused to commit to a peaceful transfer of power, saying at a September 23rd news conference, "There won't be a transfer, frankly. There'll be a continuation. The ballots are out of control."
What? In another part of the filing, Crudy again from the Washington Post, prosecutors accused Trump and his campaign of retaliating against those who rejected his election lies. Of course he did. On election day, they said, when an unnamed Trump campaign employee learned that vote counting in Detroit, Motown, my town, was trending against the president, the employee sent messages to a campaign lawyer there that encouraged, quote, rioting and other methods of obstruction. The next passage of the indictment is redacted, apparently, to protect investigative details. Prosecutors also said they would show that on November 4th of 2020, as Biden began to take the lead, a large number of untrained individuals flooded the TCF Center in Detroit, where votes were being counted, making illegitimate and aggressive challenges. Trump made repeated false claims regarding what was happening, while, in truth, his agent was seeking to cause a riot to disrupt the count, prosecutors claim.
By the way, new reporting, first time I've seen this, talked about Liz Cheney going on the Rachel Maddow last night. According to former Rep. Liz Cheney, her father sounded the alarm during Donald Trump's speech. And specifically, Dick Cheney freaked out. Think about this. Dick Cheney freaked out.
If Dick Cheney freaks out, you know you should be concerned.
Hearing Trump's January 6th speech. Are you listening to Trump? I never thought I'd quote Dick Cheney on the air. Shot a man in the face. Are you listening to Trump? Cheney asked when calling his daughter. He just told the crowd they should get rid of Liz Cheney's of the world. He's created a serious threat to your security. You are in danger. You need to be aware of that as you think about whether to go forward with your remarks. Liz Cheney had prepared a statement voicing her opposition to members of her party who wanted to overthrow the 2020 election. If you didn't know, the elder Cheney served in the W administration. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. More fine guest. The insurrection inspiring John Nichols? Question mark. A little bit later in the hour, and your calls 844-967-2789.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the lines 844-967-2789, or if you download the Civic Media app, all you got to do is press the button. It will automatically dial for you. Hell, you can text at us as well. The same number, 844-96-PARTY.
Dom, there is a homework assignment, and I feel relatively confident.
I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, you're not doing the homework, are you? Trump, a town hall from Iowa tonight. He is the big front runner, and he's going on the Foxy News with your buddy Hannity. He's doing a little town hall action.
Ahead of the debate tomorrow in Alabama, right?
Tuscaloosa. We did not inquire about
press credentials. We're not going to that one.
Not going to Alabama, Dom.
No.
You will not catch me dead, live, or otherwise in Alabama. I hear it's beautiful down there, but I don't want to know.
You don't want to know?
No.
Not going to go hang out in Tuscaloosa?
No, sir.
No, siree.
Nope. I would go to this town hall. You know, a lot of sporting events going on tonight. I hate to tell people because they might tune us out.
Don't do it.
But there's Badgers tonight. There's Bucks tonight. And, of course, playing across the Civic Media Network, you should stream the Badgers in particular, WRJN or maybe WFHR. But the town hall, 8 o'clock, I think you should watch some. Be good for you. Give you some humility.
Humility? Why would that give me humility?
Well, I want to know your opinion because, you know, you are fairly unvarnished in your opinions.
Oh, thank you.
Unfiltered?
I appreciate FCC filtered, man. Come on. I haven't swore on the radio in a long time.
Not a bit.
No, is that button working?
I hope so. You're like the pell-mell straits of co-host. Because I'd like to get your opinion. The current assessment of Donald Trump, I hear he's slipping, Dom. And you talk about the Lincoln Project. They certainly think he's slipping. You know, he forgets who the president is, keeps calling the current one Biden, Obama.
He's doing that on purpose to show you that it's really Obama running the government, I guess.
Sarcasm?
I guess.
Sarcasm.
Does sarcasm work if no one knows it's sarcasm? Not really. People just think you're crazy.
I assumed you were asking rhetorically.
I was being very sarcastic.
I see. So you're not going to watch. How about the debate? If you're going to watch one of the events, if you had to pull an event, I would suggest watching the Trump Tomahawk.
I would probably, if I was going to pick one, I'd probably watch the Donald Trump.
It's binary choice. Which one you watching? I'll watch the other one.
All right. There you go.
Which one you watching?
What time is that on? That's not tonight, right? You're saying it's tonight. That's not going to happen.
Aren't we going to hang out together? What if I put it on?
Well, you put it on what? Put it on the bar, the closed caption, man?
Maybe. You gotta read. That might be all it merits, closed captioning.
But
you got to read the transcripts.
Exactly. The transcripts, all you need to know. You know, you don't get the slurring of the words with the transcripts. You don't see the crushed up pills getting blown out his nose, when you read the transcripts. So something can be lost. I get it. By only viewing and reading the transcripts.
But that's been your prior policy many times after debates, right?
Only got so much time in the world, man. I see in my mind as I read the transcripts, the motions and characteristics and body action of the folks that are I'm reading. So I can see it when I read it, but certainly there is something to be said about actually viewing Donald Trump and a very friendly Fox News. You know, is that really even something that is
pre-recorded? So if he gets really bad, really off the rails, they can edit it out.
Oh, yes. Come on.
Yes.
That's not right.
Live or nothing.
Live, baby. Man. We do this thing live. We do it live. 844-967-2789. We do it live 5 days a week.
We got a dump button. What if it was live with the dump button, just in case he said something completely asinine?
Well, he's going to say something completely asinine.
He's
going to
nuke a hurricane over Alabama or something.
No, he's going to... put the Sharpie on the hurricane so it looks like it's going to go a little farther west. And I mean, think about all the things we've had to put up with this guy, and now we have to continue to watch him on Fox News. I mean, Fox, this is the company that lies to their audience to the tune of $800+ million in penalties and doesn't include
on Fox
Smartmatic. No, I have not. You?
More than a handful of times.
Been a while, though.
Remember why I got kicked off of Fox?
You burned it down. What was your criticism of them at the time?
My specific criticism was the failure to broadcast the January 6th impeachment in real time. And Hannity, at the time, actually, technically, it was Tucker Carlson that had the mid-evening show. But during the Tucker Carlson, they literally played no ads. So no one from the Fox News audience might actually inadvertently fall upon the facts of what was happening in the January 6th. And that was on a Friday night. Strange. It was a primetime event, a weeknight. And as fate would have it, Mike Emanuel had me booked on the Foxy News big Sunday afternoon product, which is about the only place I ever got dragged. I never made it into primetime on Fox. And it wasn't worth my time. I was tired of wasting weekends. It was my birthday. So that was right around June of last year, mid-June of last year, Dom, was the last time.
Of 22, so not even this recent June.
Was it 22? Oh, yeah, I burned it down before we started Civic Media. Had to clean the slate.
J6 was going on. It was happening.
No one wants an executive who's banned from Fox News.
Well, in that regard, Crudy, Marjorie Taylor Greene calls for criminal charges for January 6th committee members. Yeah, yeah. I mean, what do you think? What's the worst that could happen if Donald Trump gets elected? Green on Tuesday says she wants to investigate Liz Cheney, Nancy Pelosi, and anyone else on the January 6th committee with an eye toward criminal prosecutions. Green made who has made herself a vocal ally of those arrested for storming the Capitol on January 6th, has previously
the real patriots
have been in hot water for her claim that only Republicans stayed in the House chamber January 6th to defend the rioters. I mean, how do you believe anything she says? Now she's calling on the Republican-controlled House to immediately, Crudy, create a new select committee dedicated to ensuring accountability and uncovering the truth behind a day where the American people insist on transparency. Compulsory subpoenas should reach every member of the sham, capitalized J6 committee, along with Nancy Pelosi, Liz Cheney, Adam Schiff, FBI, DOJ, DC Police, Capitol Police, and J6 witnesses. However, it's crucial to recognize that subpoenas and investigations alone fall short. The American people demand true accountability, which is why we must be intent on issuing criminal referrals that lead to potential prosecutions in a future Trump administration.
So we got that to look forward to.
She went on to claim that those who are covering up the events of January 6th deserve equal punishment as those who are convicted for participating in the insurrection attempt. Democrats, the DOJ, and FBI are covering up the real events of January 6th. Those responsible must be fully investigated and face punishment equal to those imposed on J6 defendants.
Here's a new headline at The Hill. Don, I find this one interesting. GOP blurring faces in January 6th security tapes, according to Speaker Johnson. That's the Mike Johnson guy. So they're going to selectively release some tape. But, you know, you got to obscure the faces because they are criminals, but they don't want to acknowledge they're, what, all directed by John Nichols from The Nation magazine, the Cap Times locally?
We'll find out.
Here's the quote. We have to blur some of the faces of persons who participated in the events of that day, because we don't want to be retaliated against and to be charged by the DOJ and to have other concerns and problems.
Oh.
That's obstruction of justice, is it not?
For participating in the insurrection. The FBI already has those tapes.
John Nichols, our fine guest, is next.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the glass.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition, a happier happy hour indeed, Dom, because we got a fine guest. He joins us live via phone. It is John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times locally, and allegedly from the inspiration of the insurrection on January 6th. I thought you were at the orthodontist with your daughter that day, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. You know, I mean, I had a friend who texted me and said, you must have some time-traveling skills or something. be in two places at one time. It was somebody I had been hanging out with a little bit on January 6th. But yes, you know, I mean, I don't want to take full credit for anything, just so you know.
Where do these head-scratching allegations against you come, John Nichols? Former President Trump has made legal filings seemingly to relitigate the 2020 election. But, John, how did you get dragged into it?
Well, the former president is charged with a number of felonies related to incidents around and related to January 6th when we had the insurrection, the attack on the Capitol. And his lawyers are they're struggling for a defense because it doesn't look so good for the president at this point. And so they have done a discovery motion where they asked for information on about 36 different individuals and groups. And, you know, I wish I could tell you I was the only focus of anything, but I am on the list along with Antifa, Nancy Pelosi, the Capitol Police, it's a pretty long list and
John, do you intend to,
I'm not often on lists with Pelosi. So there you have it.
Are you intending to honor the subpoena, John? Will you turn over all your
subpoena
insurrection directing activities from that day?
Well, I'm more than ready to testify. I think I've got the receipt from the orthodontist. More than ready to answer any questions about this, because, of course, as you guys know, I was in Madison, and where I tend to be most of the time. And on that day, it wasn't like I was exactly being, you know, kind of like surreptitious or a master spy or something like that. I was doing radio interviews, blogging for The Nation, wrote a big article for The Nation. It was kind of public that day, but for some reason, Trump and some of his allies think that I was somehow in Washington directing the insurrection.
And you're so masterful at it, John Nichols, that you appeared on the Devil's Advocate show like mid-December after Biden had been announced the winner, but before the January 6th occurred. And you're so masterful as a spy master that you, in fact, completely hid and said just the opposite to us. In fact, you implied that nothing big was going to happen on January 6th. Put on your tinfoil hats and go home and shovel some snow. Something to that effect, yeah. John.
Don't embarrass me, guys. You know, look, obviously I was slightly off on my prediction. The truth of the matter is that I assumed, I think like a lot of people, that Trump's bluster about, you know, overturning the election results was just that, bluster, that he was angry that he had been defeated by, I might add, 7 million votes. And he wanted to make some noise about it and kind of cast some doubt in order to prepare for another run for the presidency 4 years down the line. I didn't really anticipate that, you know, things would get as serious as they did. And I knew that January 6th was going to be a really interesting day. But as you know, I wrote a history of impeachment, and I've written also written a book on the 2000 election and the efforts to resolve the Bush v. Gore case and all the complexities related to that. And so I'm really interested in the presidency and in succession as regards the presidency. So for me, it was like a geek out day, right? This was a day where I was going to sit down in front of C-SPAN and, you know, kind of watch every aspect of it, watch, you know, Pence struggle to preside, watch, you know, Republican members of Congress decide to support or object to the results from their own states. I was especially interested in what Ron Johnson was going to do because he had sent a bunch of mixed signals about it. So that was kind of what my day was going to be. And then I'd write something on it at the end of the day, probably something very scholarly and thoughtful and blah, blah, blah. And then turns out things got more interesting.
Yeah. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's John Nichols. He's a friend of ours. He's a writer for The Nation and the Cap Times locally here. John, from the Washington Post, Trump is suggesting the government's withholding information about the fence cutter and the guy on the scaffold. And they claim the government agent, and they also are asking for all documents regarding this guy, Ray Epps, a former supporter of the president, who's been falsely accused of being an undercover agent. And you, as they write in the Washington Post, a liberal journalist in Wisconsin who right-wing media have suggested encourage violence at the Capitol on behalf of the quote-unquote deep state. Now, John, I've never heard this allegation before. Have you heard this? What is the right-wing media saying about you, John? Have you heard this before?
Were you aware you'd been found out, John Nichols?
Yeah, you know. It's an interesting thing. About a year and a half ago, a little over a year ago, one of my colleagues at The Nation, Caitlin Graff, sent me a posting like from Twitter or someplace that, you know, suggested that I had been a part of it. But it was interesting because it didn't really say I was. It just said I looked like a guy who was there, you know, and they said, well, he's got similar facial structure and similar glasses. Now, the problem with this was that the picture they were using of me was from years ago, before I got bifocals. So I had these kind of little Ben Franklin glasses, you know, which I thought looked cool at the time, but in hindsight, maybe not. and so the, you know, that was what it was. It was this, and I actually DM'd the guy right? It sent a direct message, said, look, I don't want you to be embarrassed or whatever. It's not me. I was in Madison, Wisconsin that day. And he politely sent back, you know, something like, oh, yeah, I'll make note of your clarification or whatever. That was that. And, you know, from there on, I'd see occasional things on Twitter or someplace or on, you know, it's always on Twitter. But it kind of faded. And so I thought that this was sort of, you know, just a dumb thing that somebody floated out there and it disappeared. Well, it turns out that it had a life on the internet someplace, you know, in one of the silos. And I think that the Trump people, when they were kind of getting desperate to figure out what they were going to throw at the wall and try and form a defense for the president or the former president, they kind of just scoured, you know, everything they could find and threw it all into the letter that they sent to the Department of Justice. And so I wish I could make it more exciting, but I think that's how my name got there.
John, on a more serious note, we talked about a Greg Sargent piece at the Washington Post today. Enough with all the fatalism about a Trump dictatorship. There's been lots of national reporting recently, kind of articulating and wondering what would, you know, a second Trump presidency look like. I want to get your sense on that. Do you think that? And I think I personally think it's great for the media to, you know, talk about these things. But do you think we're being overly fatalistic in this regard in thinking like that? What's your sense?
Well, you know, yesterday I might not have been so concerned, but today, you know, I'm kind of feeling like they're not really fact based here. So, you know, I'm feeling like it. They're a little sketchy, if you get my drift.
Right.
And as such, I think that people who play that fast and loose with the facts, especially in a discovery document sent to the Department of Justice, you have to be concerned about whether they have any guardrails, whether they have any rules that they follow or any respect for the rule of law, et cetera. So, yeah, I don't think it's unreasonable to be talking with concern about some of the things Trump has said, and frankly about, you know, the people around him. It does not seem to me like they're hiring the best legal team.
John Nichols, our fine guest. John, if you were on the Trump enemies list, and I suspect me and Dom might be somewhere on one of the back pages, but I always assumed it'd be for a column you wrote, not for some bifocals you had too in college.
Yeah, well, no, I got the bifocals now as I've aged, unfortunately. But I would have thought it was. I mean, there's some people I've heard from everybody today, right? Because, you know, on that day, I think I talked to everybody. So now everybody's calling up to say, hey, you know, I thought I was talking to you. I didn't know you were doing other stuff.
Right.
There are some folks who speculated that I might have ended up in their sights or, you know, in their attention because I was such a very firm advocate for impeachment of the president from early on and argued it in a lot of columns and TV appearances and all sorts of other settings. And so I guess it probably argued it on your show more than once. And so I think that there are some folks that speculate that was the case. I don't know. You know, I mean, it may just be, you know, kind of dumb luck, but whatever the reason is, I do think that they've been pretty clear about wanting to target people on the left, right? And very, very sharp in their condemnations and attacks on people who support, you know, civil rights, civil liberties, labor unions, whatever. And so I guess it's not surprising that they might come after me. But again, I don't want to make too big a deal about it because I'm kind of still pretty sure that Nancy Pelosi is somebody they even want more than me.
Well, John, I don't mean to make light of this circumstance, but you know what happened to Paul Pelosi? John, do you worry about your personal safety whatsoever now that you've appeared somehow linked to bad deeds, whether or not merited? I suspect not, John, but any concerns about safety, sir?
Well, you open up a whole new can of worms there. I hadn't really thought about it too much. I hope that I'm going to write about this uh, in a
in a pretty detailed form, because I think it's such an interesting circumstance. And one would hope that logic would ultimately prevail. I know we're talking about people that don't always deal in the realm of logic, but, you know, I can't really say. I'm not, you know, I'm talking to you while walking around Madison, so I guess I still feel relatively safe in the world.
John, just the last couple of minutes here. No, I just totally lost the chain of thought.
I just bedabbled
you. All right. I got it back.
All right.
You were wrong. You're inaccurate on your prediction of what would happen on January 6th. Got a lot of time, a lot of things going on between now and the next election. Do you care? Opine, speculate with us, John. How do you think this plays out on the Republican side? Is Trump going to be at the top of the ticket? Is he convicted going into the convention in Milwaukee?
Okay, first and foremost, Trump wins the nomination. And it's largely, you know, he's got his own problems, to be sure. But he's a pretty skillful politician, whether you like him or not. He's a pretty skillful communicator. And his problems. And so as a result, you know, I think he's going to be the Republican nominee. Nikki Haley, who's the most capable of his opponents, may give him a little bit of a hard time, but probably not too much. And so I think he'll be the nominee. I think he's up against Biden. Biden's carrying a lot of baggage. He is not the most popular president in history. His poll numbers are not all that great. But Biden's poll numbers have never been all that great. You know, he's always been sort of the person people choose as an able manager. And so I guess at the end of the day, I still presume that Biden gets reelected. But it's going to be a tough, crazy year next year. Remember, you know, I just got listed as, you know, I get made Trump's enemies list. Right?
Congratulations,
John. Who knows what can happen over the next year.
Maybe you could ask the missus for some brass knuckles for Christmas this year, John.
You know, I'm a Quaker, man. We don't do the violence stuff too much.
Have you met our friend Fancy Brian? He's a good guy to have around. Our good friend,
Fancy
John.
I'm going to be bringing him along with me wherever I go.
John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times, from walking the streets of Madison. Appreciate it, John. Be safe out there.
Thanks, John.
It's an honor to be with you both. Thanks for reminding me of my great prediction.
You're welcome.
Well, that's a pleasant holiday wish.
Isn't it, though?
More Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. Time flies when you're having fun, but you can join us on the lines, 844-967-2789. Stick around, the Maggie Dawn Show is up next.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, John Nichols. Always a fine one, that insurrection instigator. That's just a ludicrous charge.
I mean, I know.
The man's not even in the same state at the time.
Does it matter? I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Lies, truths, half-truths, alternative facts. It just rolls off the tongue, man.
Thank you, John, for making an appearance here. You know, he was singing a different tune in December. I mean, if what John Nichols had predicted played out, then maybe Ron Johnson wouldn't have been such a big fat liar. Because what he described, like, you know, people getting along, all that's in prediction. John was predicting. Now, Ron Johnson was reflecting on what was actually happening and just sort of misconstruing the tenor of the crowd. Oh, they were happy, joyous people that day, Dom.
Sure they were.
Some had to go really bad, though. There is some breaking...
Apparently.
Breaking news here in the state of Wisconsin, according to J.R. Ross over at the wispolitics.com, he tweets, news, a Dane County judge, that's where Madison is located, today ruled the 1849 Wisconsin law does not prohibit abortions.
He has some additional tweets to that, Crudy. Also, while ruling the law doesn't ban consensual abortions in Wisconsin, Judge Shipler declined to issue an injunction barring enforcement of the 1849 statute. She says it's not necessary because the district attorneys who are defendants have pledged to abide by her ruling. Also, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, according to J.R. Ross, says it will resume providing abortion in Sheboygan. It began services again in Madison and Milwaukee after Shipler's previous ruling in the case. Sheboygan County DA was only one of three defendants who indicated he wanted to enforce the law. Again, you can go find that out on wispolitics.com.
844-967-2789. Still time for your calls today. Always better with you. And Wisco Paul in the glass. How you doing, Wisco?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, I'm doing okay. And John Nichols is just totally awesome. I mean, I just love listening to him. He's so insightful. I have to say this. I watched some of Trump's campaign rhetoric yesterday, and for the love of God, I don't know how this guy could get the nomination. We must live in two separate worlds, Republicans and Democrats, but when I listen to this guy, he's like the kind of guys that would knock on the devil's doors and say, hey, come with us. You were talking bad about me. But I never thought in my life also I'd be rooting for Liz Cheney. I mean, Dick Cheney's daughter. I mean, that's how I just can't explain this. I just don't, you know, I don't mind if CJ calls in, but sometimes I listen to him and I think, where are you living, dude? You know, but this whole Trump thing is very disturbing to me, and that's I can't it just is. I'd have to think about Canada or something. And I
oh, Canada. They wouldn't have us, Wisco.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't. Hey, anyway, on a happy note, it was a good weekend for the Badgers and Packers, but the Trump thing scares the living hell out of me. So, hey, thanks for your show, you guys.
You're welcome, Paulie. Thank you for listening.
Don't forget, Paulie.
967-2789.
The glass is half full of your booze. When you drink it, you won't be nearly as scared.
Wispolitics.com. Again, according to J.R. Ross, went to the site. Our pal Annalise Eicher, she is the media contact over at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. She put this out. Again, today, Dane County Circuit Court Judge Diane Shipler reaffirmed previous rulings by the court that Statute 940.04 does not apply to consensual abortion care. Here is a statement from Michelle Velasquez, Chief Strategy Officer at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Quote, today's ruling is another important step forward in restoring and expanding access to abortion in Wisconsin. Since the overturning of Roe, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has maintained that Wisconsin Statute 940.04 could not be enforced against abortion providers. This final ruling again confirms this. We are grateful to Attorney General Call and Governor Evers for their leadership and efforts to protect reproductive freedom in Wisconsin. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin will continue to provide abortion care services at our Water Street Health Center in Milwaukee and our Madison East Health Center, and we will resume abortion services at our Sheboygan Health Center as soon as possible. While we celebrate this ruling, there is more that needs to be done. We will continue essential work to help protect and expand reproductive freedom in Wisconsin so that everyone who needs comprehensive reproductive health care in our state can get the non-judgmental and compassionate care they deserve.
More leadership, more breaking news out of the state of Wisconsin and this topic, Republican leadership. The headline here, Dom, Republicans propose dissolving the Wisconsin Elections Commission. If you had not seen this, there is a legislative piece out there here in the Republican gerrymandered and overwhelmingly controlled legislature to eliminate the Wisconsin Elections Commission and shift the administration of state elections to Democrat Sarah Godlewski, overseen by the Wisconsin legislature, run by Republicans. So Godlewski, they could say, well, we're shifting all the power to a Democrat, except she wouldn't have any power.
Right.
And as soon as a Republican won that office,
good luck.
Yeah. Then they control the machinations of the elections. So be very afraid. And Tony Evers will veto that measure, I strongly suspect. 844-967-2789. Time for Ross from Middleton. You might get the last word, Ross. What is it?
Hey, Ross.
Hey, guys. You guys must have been kidding about John Nichols predicting what was going to happen on the 6th, because I think the entire nation's jaws were on the ground when that insurrection was happening. But I think this decision by the court today sort of going to reaffirm my opinion, which is that the abortion issue is going to drive Wisconsin politics for the next few years. I think Brad Schimmel's going to, it's going to be difficult for Brad Schimmel. And I think it's even going to be difficult for, even at the presidential level, I think the abortion may become like the defining issue for the Democrats.
Well, Ross, I don't disagree with you, and I certainly think it's a engaging issue for the electorate. But I don't think a simple ruling by a Dane County District Court judge would take the wind out of this issue. Until this is codified in some way, shape, or form, restored as a right of women to control their own bodies, oh, it's going to have punch. Thank you all for listening to the Devil's Advocates. Thank you, John Nichols, for joining us. Maggie Dawn is next. And then, Busted Pencils, Educated Educators Talking Education. Go Badgers! Beat the Michigan State, whatever they are, Spartans.